Hello everyone, it's time again for the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good and He is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. I love God and I know for a fact that He loves you. He loves us deeply. There's a scripture in James says, draw near to the Lord and He will draw near to you. That is an absolute living promise. God loves us. He's serious about His love. He takes His love towards us very seriously. And He does not want to risk losing you. Did you know that if you don't choose Jesus as your Savior, you would one day die and be disconnected from God forever? And the Lord doesn't want that to happen to you. Now, man listened to a lie. He believed a lie more than he believed God. And now, in order to live forever with Him and have restored fellowship, we've got to believe the truth and reject that lie. Now, God put two trees in the garden. The tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was in the midst of the garden. And the Lord said, don't touch it, lest you'll die. The tree of life represents the truth of God's word. God made Adam right. He put him in a beautiful world. There was nothing wrong with it. Adam was designed to live forever. Live forever in fellowship with Father God. And at that point, he didn't need a Savior because he had no sin. He didn't even know what sin was. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that's an alternative. That represents the lies and alternatives that Satan brings. And notice he said, it's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So when Satan lied to you, it's not going to sound bad. It's going to sound good. It's going to seem good. And in some ways, it will even feel good. And you will say, well, hey, there's nothing wrong with this. I can do this. Other people are doing it. And nothing happens to them. Well, sin is slow. It works slow. Adam didn't die the day he ate off the tree. It took him about 800 more years to die. It took him once he bit off the tree, death started working in his body. He died at the age of 939 years. So whenever he ate off the tree, death started working in his body, and it finished his work at the end of his life. And he looked like a dried up old man. If he didn't bite off that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he would have looked just as young as he did when God made him. And if you see Father God, which you can't without dying, he would look young. There's no age. The only reason he would look older is because of his wisdom. Sometimes you run across young people and they're very mature for their age. They have a very mature heart, and that maturity gets in their countenance. Though they may be 18 to 20 years old, they may go for a 30-year-old. Well, God is no different. He is so wise, so full of wisdom and knowledge, and so full of love. If you could see His face, He would look young. And because no death started working in Him. But death definitely started working in Satan, so he would look terrible. But he makes himself look good, just like his lies. Now, we're still dealing with end times. And these chapters of end times is how to navigate in the last days. We've been dealing with the parable of the tares and the wheat, or the tares of the field, and how God's going to deal with them. Now, remember, people sort themselves. God doesn't sit back and say, well, I want this one and I don't want that one. That's not true. That's not the way He does it. He judges people by Jesus. The day Jesus died on the cross, He defeated sin. So all sin is already judged. You don't have to wait on the judgment if you're in sin. When you stop breathing, when your earth suit stops working, when your body dies, you will immediately go to hell if you never gotten saved, or you will go in the presence of God in heaven immediately. Now your works are going to be judged later. And the nations are going to be judged later at the appointed time. Now if you're a Christian and you sin, and you judge yourself and repent and turn from your evil, then God will not judge you because you judge yourself. If you don't turn from your evil, God will judge you and he will chastise you. Now, when he chastises you, things will happen that's not to your favor, so that he'll get your attention so you repent. And the Holy Spirit will be working with you. The first part of chastisement, the Holy Spirit on the inside, you'll notice that he didn't like what you did. You'll feel bad about what you did. And he's urging you to repent. And if you soften your heart and repent and stop doing whatever it was, then the relationship is restored. There's no need for you to be judged. But if you harden your heart, eventually he'll stop tugging at your heart and working with you. And you'll find yourself back in the world needing to get saved. Well, a lot of preachers don't like that because they believe once saved, always saved. When people harden their hearts and change their mind and change their ways and start working against God, it's not without repercussion. Just like you entered the kingdom of God, you can leave the kingdom of God. If you don't believe that, if your theology don't believe that, you need to study, not just read, but study 2 Peter chapter 2, like we did a few weeks ago, and the book of Jude. Angels that had no sin at all left their heavenly position and followed Lucifer and his lies. They are the demons that you fight. And some of them wish they could get back on God's side, and they can't. So it's important to understand the living works of God. It's important. Don't settle for less. Don't do it. Because God loves us, and he will work with us, he will bless us in every way. And he is relentless about his love. Don't be afraid of falling. But study the word of God and charge your heart with the word of God. And it will give you a better appetite towards life. It will give you the same insight that God chose. You will be able to judge what's right and what's wrong by the standards of God's word. Your standards will be raised, and the devil's standards will be exposed, and you'll be able to live a solid life just like God. That's what he intended. That's the gift he gave us. Don't fail, but don't be afraid of falling. Don't be afraid that you will sin. If you're struggling with something, talk to the Lord about it intelligently. When you go in prayer in faith, knowing that God is going to help you and give you understanding and grace to deal with whatever you got to deal with. And don't be afraid of it. But know that God's going to hear you out and bless you. Now, that's what I did. That's all I did. There were times when I first started, I didn't know how to stop doing some things. I didn't know if I would do right. I remember being afraid that I would fall. I didn't feel like I had a real good grip on things yet. And I talked to the Lord about it. Whatever you do, be honest with God. If you study the Psalms, David was always honest with the Lord. And you can get so much further along if you live in faith and in fellowship with God and be honest with him. And don't ever choose to hold on to something that's doing you no good. Now, we talked about the last broadcast, how we ended. Now, these broadcasts are longer than the radio broadcast. Every recording is longer than the 15-minute radio broadcast. If you go to newlivingletters.com, the same broadcast is almost 30 minutes long. So if you go to newlivingletters.com on the audio page, put in the date that this broadcast aired, and you can listen to the whole thing. And we've been doing that for the last month. And we're going to continue to do it. Every broadcast from now on out, until Jesus come back, or until I can't do the broadcast anymore, I'll be a very old man, or Jesus will come back, every broadcast is going to be at least 30 minutes long. And you can hear it on the website. And I'm doing that at the instruction of the Lord. Many of you want a longer broadcast. And I'm not wealthy yet. The Lord's going to open some doors for me. And when he do, I'll buy more radio time. I'm a working man, and I thank God for it. I do a business beside the job I have so that I can do these broadcasts. And I welcome all donations. And information is on the website. Now, last week we dealt with how Jesus said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied in your name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And he will say, he never knew them. Now that's Matthew chapter 7, verses 21, and it goes all the way down to 23. Now, let's back up a little bit. We talked about the very last broadcast, we talked about false prophets, how a corrupt tree can't bring forth good fruit, a good tree can't bring forth corrupt tree. Now that's in Matthew chapter 6, verse 15 to 21. Now, the reason that this is how it works. Think of your family. All right. God has a pastor. If he's a man of God and he's of God, he loves God, he's true. You can always find fault if you look hard enough. Now, let's say the parents, the mother or the father, they find fault with the pastor and they complain against him. Well, little ears are going to hear them. Their children and all the little children in that house, they're going to hear what their parents said. And when the pastor's pouring his heart out into the word of God and ministering the word of life, they're judging him. They're tempted by Satan to judge him just like their parents. And if they yield to that temptation, they won't receive what they could have received from him because they have a problem with him. And out in life, when they need that information, they won't have it because the just shall live by his faith. If you can't have faith in the word of God, then you can't overcome the world. Now, every day as time goes on and as the years go by, complaint after complaint, and there's more complaining there than there is praise. There's more negative words than positive words against the man of God. How will they judge other men of God? It's okay to talk about the man of God. What would their influence become? And then at the same time, everybody, even good children and good adults, are tempted with sin. And the enemy is always trying to get a foothold somewhere. So if you think about the lifestyle and the words that are spoken and the actions that are done, and if it's a house that roasts the pastor, and he's trying to help him and pray for him and keep him out of danger, and that attitude goes south, that corruption will end up on their children. They've given their children greater hurdles to jump. Now let's look at it another way. Let's say a pastor is a false prophet, and he teaches wrong information, and people receive it because they have a love for the world. And their judgment is going to fail them because they're looking at things in an alternate way. Families, I'm going to be honest with you. There are good men of God out there. Find them. Go in prayer, get on your knees, and ask the Lord to guide you to the church that will bless your family. And go. You don't want to take your children or yourself or your family to a church where where there's a false prophet. I'm sorry, just don't do that. Because tares are among the wheat. Don't pretend they're not. Judge everything by the living word of God, just like the Bereans did in Acts. See, I used to wonder as a child, I would see good women or kind-hearted women. They always liked the bad guys. I said, that's something that, you know, it don't add up. What, she know that guy ain't no good. Why would she throw herself at a bad guy? And he ain't thinking about God. He ain't thinking about what's right. He will not come around her family because he know he corrupt. And he stay far as he can away from the men of the family. And some of them will flirt with the girl's cousin. Sometimes even her own sister. And they still wander after these bad guys. Well, I say there's a love for the world somewhere. Or maybe they think they can change him. They like him so much they think they can change him. When you're looking for a church home, you're no different than that girl. And I use a girl because people, you know, it's more baffling to see a good girl go after a bad guy. Well, a true man of God is going to tell you the truth. And just like medicine, the truth can seem bitter. It's not, but it seems that way when you love the world. And people shun the good prophets and they cling to the bad ones because they still got a love for the world somewhere. In order to solve this big problem, you're going to have to do just what Adam was supposed to do. You got to choose life and hate darkness. Or you will find a compromised preacher that will preach what you want to hear, what you approve of, what you want, and forget about what God wants. Run to the pastor that will tell you the truth. The blood of Jesus Christ is the reason we're saved. And the Lord saves us so that we can live a righteous life. He didn't save you to live a raggedy, tore-up life. And he didn't save you to run around with the enemy. It's just like if a man marry a woman and she starts hanging around the bad guys. Her old bad boyfriend. She leave a good husband that loves her, come home every day, take care of the house, take care of her, takes her places, but she still want to run out to this bad guy and give him money. Now, the Lord didn't save you to run out to Satan and let him use you. You can't have it both ways. You can't have salvation and the world at the same time. You have to choose. You will choose. You will choose. You will choose God's way or you will choose Satan's way. You will choose. And in choosing Satan's way, it won't be called Satan's way. It'll just be the way of the world, the way of opinion, the way of popular opinion. Political correctness. One guy said political correctness is just a pathological lie over the truth. You will choose. But I love you, so I plead with you to choose God. He pleads with you to choose the way of salvation through Jesus Christ. He sees what's going to happen to you. You know, the Lord know, you know, us preachers, we don't want you to go to hell. I've seen people go to hell. God loves every soul, but he knows exactly what's going to happen to you according to the path you choose. You will choose one before it's over with. Not choosing Christ is choosing Satan. Not choosing to believe on Jesus Christ, that his blood washed away your sin, is choosing Satan. It may not be choosing everything Satan do, but you will be in a position where you can't go to heaven and you'll be at the mercy of Satan. And when you go to hell, just like we said last week, that's not God's jurisdiction. He can't get you out of that. If you go in there, you belong to Satan and God don't steal. You didn't want him and now he can't take you back. It's important. Life is very important. And we must treat it so. Now, the Lord wants to give us our individual uniqueness back. The things that were, that the true us. The things that he put in you when he created you, that's up to you to discover. These things, they don't conflict with your conscience, and they don't conflict with God's word. Your individual uniqueness, your makeup, is what you want to do, what you want to be, and what you want in life. These three things, they don't conflict with your conscience, and they don't conflict with God's word. Now, let me say this. If you study God's word and have faith in it, your conscience will match God's word. A person can be taught that some things are wrong, and it's not. Like, I went to a church, they said they told the women they couldn't wear pants or makeup or jewelry. Now, that's neither here nor there. All God said to the people was dress modestly. Don't show your bare necessities. He said dress modestly. But people took it a step further and added a tradition to it. Women can't wear pants. They can't wear jewelry. They can't wear makeup. In Corinthians, when he talked about the braided hair and the plaiting of the hair and all the jewelry that they wore, he said, don't let that, all he was saying there was, don't let that be the emphasis of who you are. Put more emphasis on the hidden man of the heart. Wear the jewelry, wear the makeup. It's not wrong. But let the emphasis be on the love of God in your heart, the wisdom of God that you live, your kindness, your faith. If you wear jewelry and makeup, just wear the love of God more so. Wear the faith more so. Wear your kindness more so. And everything else is just clothes. Your jewelry, your makeup, your wigs, whatever, how your hair do. Look the best you can. Just don't show off. Don't be provocative. It's important. The way you carry yourself wins souls. The way you behave wins souls, more than what you say. Because when you minister the gospel to people, it has impact if you're living the gospel. And people are not stupid. They know the difference. Their soul is worth it. People make decisions based on you. They can't see God. They can see you. So show them God in you. Show them, if you love people, if you want your kinfolk saved, if you want your friends saved, if you want to save people in general, behave like the Lord. Go around doing good. Help people when they need you. Hear them out when they're talking to you. Call them back when they call you. Be a friend to people. And don't let them use you. Don't let them misuse you. Some people will see your kindness and try to capitalize on it. That's where the wisdom of the Holy Spirit will help you deal with them individually. Did you know that if people are looking to you in place of looking to God, it's idolatry? It is idolatry. If they have a need, they need to be asking God. People that keep begging you, pastors, the people that keep wanting you to pay their cable bill and their power bill and their house note, refer them to the Lord. Tell them to go and pray and ask God for a plan to pay those bills. Many of them are healthy. I'm going to tell you this too. If you're on disability and you really don't deserve to be, don't you know that's dangerous? If you're on disability and you know that you really don't have the problem you claim and you just opted for an easy life, that's fraud. And the Lord has to come back. Don't live a fraudulent life. If you're taking something that really don't belong to you, it's stealing. It's dangerous. If it wasn't dangerous, I wouldn't have said nothing. But see, when the Lord comes back, he has to come back on time. Ready or not, he's coming. And he's not going to take you in any condition. You will not go to heaven if you're not doing right. Everybody need to go in prayer and ask the Lord to help them have the courage to make whatever adjustments they need to make. If you're the kind of person that's always asking people and looking to people to help you take care of you, you need to stop that and ask the Lord. Don't you know that God is a jealous God? He's got whatever you need. He can help you. And he'll bless you with a way to make your living. Ask him. And just don't do fraudulent things. Don't do what other sisters and brothers are doing. They may not even go to heaven. Be honest with God. Ask him to forgive you if you know you've been wrong. And ask him to help you deal with it from this point on. He loves you and he has a plan for you. Enter his plan. Our plans don't always work. You're going to do what's in your heart. But what's in your heart can be changed. The word of God can fortify your heart and help you change what's in your heart. Don't waste your life. If you've done wrong all of your life, and now it doesn't look like you're going to make it back out of that hospital, don't think for a moment that God won't forgive you. He wants to forgive you, and he wants you to be like him, but you cannot go to heaven with the love of the world in your heart. You can't go to heaven with unforgiveness in your heart, with bitterness in your heart. Cry out to the Lord and he will forgive you and he will save you. It's easy as that. But don't say, well, I'm not going to follow God because I still want to do this over here. You're making a choice. The girl that's crazy about the bad guy. There's something in the world she liked. The church people that find a compromised pastor, there's something in the world that they like. Then they don't really want to follow God's truth. But you owe it to yourself to learn his ways and follow him. If you learn God's ways and follow him, what you learn will be better. It will be more fantastic, better in every way than what this world has to offer. The rich young ruler, he walked away. He didn't know Jesus was trying to bless him in a greater way. He was trying to get his eyes off his idol, which was his riches, and on the God. And you can't go out and bless the poor and go out broke.